Hi, welcome to the Munch Bunch. This is Kimi Nishimoto, and I have my co-host Megan Benoy. And today we have an awesome patient interview today. This is actually one of my patients, Heather, and she's going to tell us her story about having a tongue-tied baby and all the difficulties that came along with that. So, Heather, tell us your story.
Yes, hi. I have 6 children, and all of them have been tongue-tied, but I did not know what that was until the 4th child. And with that one, I dove all in trying to figure it all out. That was about 5 years ago. And but then with my 5th child, he was actually a surviving twin that was born at 26 weeks and less than 2 pounds. So he was super, super tiny and had a lot of medical needs all over the place. Not as many as he could have had. He actually did super amazing, and he didn't have any. He does not have any lasting issues at all. So it's just amazing. He's 3 now. So he's doing amazing, but it was definitely throwing me into the deep end with not only all the things that a micro preemie entails, but then the tongue tie as well, which again is not really whether it is well known or it just educated. There's just not a lot of professionals, specialists that really know about tongue ties. So even though I was a pretty confident mom, it was pretty confident shattering to be told a million times that that wasn't an issue. So that was definitely had to kind of, we were in the hospital for 3 months just getting the, just growing him and all those things that go with it. And it's hard. I mean, I'm a hardcore, a little more on the crunchy side, attachment parenting style person. And so I've done all of the kind of weird things or against the grain things if it's helped my children. I've had children with different health issues and different things that I've had to go, after that were against the normal route of things. So I wasn't, I definitely wasn't, that wasn't a strange thing for me to do, but delving into this whole world of things, because he had occupational therapy for feed therapy, he had physical therapy, he had all this stuff going on. So, and then just before all this happened, I had just finished my training for cranial sacral therapy. So I was a little bit newer into that whole genre of things and that body work. And, but knowing that my children needed it so bad, having been tongue tied and it creating so much fascial strain in their bodies and affecting all kinds of things. So I was right in the beginnings of really good jumping into that. So, which was good timing in the way, cause I was able to somewhat, I had him to multiple, therapists outside of the hospital when it comes to cranial sacral stuff and body work, because I knew how important that was in this whole layering of the onion as to what he needed. So it, but it was definitely a process. I feel like for him more so than even my others with identifying and really pushing through, because for him with, like I said, like what, 9 different therapists, it's, it's different points, and to be told it was never an issue, or like his tongue tie was never an issue for any of them. In their professional opinions, then you start to, wonder if you're really sane yourself. So it was just a longer haul with him.
Now, Heather, wasn't he on a feeding tube as well?
Yes, he was. He was so small on a feeding tube, but we worked, I think, from like, so he's born at 26 weeks, at 34 weeks. They start kind of more feeding therapy kind of stuff. And I started also attempting breastfeeding, which I'm a pretty hardcore breastfeeder. And, so that whole thing started about 34 weeks, but he was in the hospital for 3 months, and then he was on a feeding tube for an additional 3 months outside of the hospital.
It was a
kind of a fight to the bitter end. It felt like getting to the point for him, it's very rare to have micro preemies that get to be exclusively breastfed, but hallelujah, we actually got to that point. And at the same time when our NICU, buddy and a lot of our NICU friends, they were also fighting this. When you're on a feeding tube for so long, and for that was 6 months of his life, then you start talking G-tube and you're talking all those type of things, which was the course for a lot of moms that I was in there with. So that we were kind of really on this cusp of that actually been a really big reality for us without getting him transitioned food wise and tongue tie revision, all that played into this really specific timing that if it hadn't, we could have very easily, I think, ended up there.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Because you said that your friend that was in a very similar situation, they ended up staying on the feeding tube
which they were born at the same gestation and just different. I mean, all babies had their different things and different issues and stuff like that, but they were pretty similar in that neither of them had any big giant issues, surgeries, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But that situation did end up where she's 3 years old and still also on that G-tube for some things as well still. Yeah. So it's a very active part.
Wow.
And which is not uncommon in micro preemie world. So it really is not it's pretty common. So I was having in my navigation, and everybody's got their own specific journey, but me navigating, trying to figure out what was regular preemie world and what was what I felt like my child needed. And it was a hard navigation. Hard thing to navigate for sure.
Now, who ultimately decided or found out that he was tongue tied?
Well, I pretty much knew. I mean, all the rest of my children are tongue tied. Like, it has to be a deal. They're all the fourth child was severely tongue tied, her posterior tie, but all of them were mostly posterior ties. So a lot of people don't recognize posterior ties as really being a thing if they can't see the tongue being pinned down the front. Mm-hmm. So that was from my own, just my own experience, research, watching how they're using their tongues, knew that they had, even my fourth child after a revision, she just still had so much tension in her body, which is what drove me into the body work end of things. And there's got to be more to this it's not just surgery, quick little lasering of something. There's more to this that I'm not getting at. So for me, it was.
Heather is so woke, guys. She is so good.
She knows it's not just a clip and snip. She knows.
I can get kind of ruthless probably when I just know it's just not, I just cannot handle knowing that something's not enough, or I'm not pursuing the right thing for my child or whatever it is. It just felt, and with Eitan, with as tiny as he was and all the things that he had to fight and power through. I mean, his name basically means strong warrior, right? He's really was exactly that. But I think there was one of we had home therapists that came to our home every week. And one of them was an occupational therapist that was pretty woke in some different areas when it came to at least my more holistic end of thinking in some areas. And so she was I felt like was my non-antagonistic partner in a lot of areas, because I just felt like I was always this constant pushback. I always felt when it came to feed issues or body work issues or whatever else, it's just a very segmented world, medical world. This is your eating therapist, and they may know nothing about tension in the body, right? Because that's for the physical therapist, but they're pretty connected. If you're so tight that your tongue can't move or swallow right, you're not probably going to eat very well. But that's a completely different thing in their it's just so segmented. So it was really hard trying to communicate these things to different people. And so that occupational therapist, feeding therapist, she at least confirmed, she's like, if you're feeling like there's something here, then pursue it. So that was at least that little plug, which at that point I was a pretty shattered person. I'm pretty strong. I'm pretty strong willed. I barrel through stuff. I don't care to be, I don't care if I'm an oddball. I don't, but those many months, that many months, I was pretty shattered. I was a shell of who I used to be. And my husband was like, who is this? Who is this Heather? That you know, where's my wife? Because my wife would go after something and know it and go after it. And at that point, I was so scared. I was like, am I going to hurt my child? Because you have those, you know, when you have specialists that are telling you that there's nothing wrong in this area, you need to just step in line and do this thing, and eventually something will be fine, but you just need to just lay it all down. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you're told that a million times, it is like serious gaslighting. Like, you begin to then wonder about yourself. Mm-hmm. And so I was a rebuilding. So the tongue tie I was re-researching everything I had, you know, for, I mean, I was in that, it was a big foggy zone for me too, because again, we were in the midst of moving. I had four other children at home, and I'm living at the hospital, and it was just a crazy time even after coming home. So I was researching as much as I could. I think at that point I also contacted a contact with a lactation with Jacqueline.
Circles,
and I was like, okay, that's somebody I trust. She gets the tongue tie thing. I need to talk to her. So I think I had a video consult with her, and like, because I was really want to make sure, like, is this just me or is this an actual thing? Because I don't want to put him through one more thing. He, you know, like, he's been through so much. Like, mm-hmm. the thought of like injuring his tongue, what, like, especially when you have all these people saying it's not needed, right? And like, I really don't want to do this and mess up, because we were on the cusp of trying to get him off the tube. He could never breastfeed enough, quite enough to get off of a tube, but completely refused bottles. So it was just really like, we couldn't quite get enough. And so I was like, what do I do? I was afraid of getting the revision, thinking, is this going to knock him back where he can't do anything orally at all? And then we've lost all the ground and we still end up with a G-tube. So it was just a lot of weighing those things, but at a certain point, which I think it was in that 4 or 5 months range, we came home at 3, 4 to 5 months. So like maybe 5 weeks later, I think it's probably when I was finally like, this has to happen. We're not going to get off this tube unless we address some of these other things. So I was having him get body work done. But that tongue, now I finally got it revised. It was so obvious after the revision that yes, I needed to have the revision done, but it was a really hard decision with him, I think, just because of the process we went through. Now, my last baby here, that he's almost a year old, he had an anterior tie as well. So his was a lot more obvious, as well as serious posterior. So all my other ones, like, and any babies from here on out would be like, yes, automatically, let's get this thing revised ASAP, let's get on this. But his was definitely a process. But once we finally did, it definitely freed up his tongue a lot, where he could then swallow and take in more. And it really was like almost like a switch. At a certain point,
so crazy. He
was be able to just eat. So I never thought the day was going to come. But
and he was able to exclusively breastfeed.
So he would have been, born 3.5 months early. We get out just before his due date. And so he's 3 months old then, but he's supposed to kind of be a newborn. And then 3 months after that is when we came off the tube. So he was technically 6 months old, but he would have been more like 3-ish months old, like on a regular timetable, but had been on a tube for 6 months. Hmm. Yeah. So it was pretty incredible to get to the point where we didn't have, because these were all weighed feeds that I did. Mm-hmm. So I had him off a scale 60 sometimes a day, weighing him, trying to get decent weights as he got bigger. And it was crazy. The feed battle was intense, but we made it.
Now, when you were kind of going through all of this, like, do you just kind of were constantly feeling like everybody was like not buying into what you were experiencing? Yeah. Is that kind of what you were feeling?
Absolutely. It was definitely feeling like you were the horned weirdo, like that you thought this was a big enough deal. Like, and that whole world of things with, especially in the hospital with feeding, and it just is so segmented. So it just didn't make, nobody has like a to Z, I feel like, approach to like all these different facets that go into eating and swallowing. And I did feel like a little bit of a horned weirdo, and I'm like, with feed issues, like even what he could feed, what he'd eat, what he could handle. Like, I know what my kids can handle, but you know, they're like, no, they all need to eat this. I'm like, that's not going to work. He's going to react to it, which he did. But then they're like, no, that's a preemie issue. And so when their tongues aren't working right and they're not swallowing, they're like, no, it's because he was born so early. So yeah, it was hard.
Yeah.
It's just interesting to me because, like, I know you so well and you are tenacious. Like, you will grill any dentist, any orthodontist to get the treatment that you think is right for your kids. So it's just so interesting to me to hear you say that you were, like, so beaten down and so frustrated and just defeated. Because that is
my husband was like, who is this person? Because I was all of a sudden like, I just have to follow, I just have to, like, bow my head and just plod along and do it, like, what they want me to do. And my husband's like, what? Like, no, that's not who you are. That is not what we're going to do. Like, you know what your child needs. Now go after it. So hallelujah, I have a husband that woke me up a little bit and, you know, and encouraged me to pick up my battered pieces and keep fighting for him. And it was really crucial timing when we did, like, really crucial. If he hadn't kind of shaken me in that way, then that window right there with feed issues, what we were feeding him, and the whole revision thing, body work, that if we hadn't done that, I feel like the reflux that was also induced from all the stuff, he had horrible reflux from the horrible stuff they're putting in his milk that we were forced to.
Yeah.
Plus you have the tongue tie stuff causing reflux as well. So that whole thing, it was creating horrible reflux that then was going to create oral aversions. And that's what happens the most. I mean, a good many babies is they get to a point where the reflux is so bad, they develop such a bad oral aversion, they can't do anything by mouth. And then they end up in a G tube. So we were really in such a crucial zone. Like, we were just having different babies that we are around in the same boats as us, you know, that did have that the oral aversions got so bad and they, you know, had to go the G-tube route and that kind of thing. So yeah, it was definitely, it felt like a very lonely, lonely path in that way, for sure.
And then flashback to your other children, like all six of them have come out tongue-tied. What has been your experience with, like, the little ones, like the kids that you knew, they were tongue-tied, they got released really early. What about your older kids that were not released, didn't know anything about it? What has been the experience between the release versus the non-release kids?
I mean, with the three older ones that hadn't had revisions because I didn't know, they each of them had very unique symptoms from each other. It wasn't like they all had the same issues, but one had gagging and swallowing issues. Like, he could never put very much food in his mouth. He always had ear troubles. The other one, that affected their jaw growth dramatically in different ways. Lots of crowding, vaulted palates. So those type of things, like gag reflexes, mouth breathing, like all those classic things, but all of them having different ways that's affected them. And of course nursing, I'm breastfeeding all of these tongue tied children, not knowing that there was an issue. So I went through a lot of severe pain and chronic infections myself, never knowing that that was a part of the problem. Like, I just had chronic breast yeast infections, that were the most insanely painful because I can go ductal, and I went ductal twice for me, like the most severe pain you could ever possibly imagine. And never realized that could be caused, you know, from, you know, insufficient latches that I'm like, well, you know, I've been able to power through, you know, these three babies, and I've, you know, breastfed them each for, you know, 2 years. And, but with my fourth child, her posterior tie was so bad that within like a week of her being born, I was mutilated. And I was like, This is not going to work. So we're going to have to figure out what's going on here, because that was not a power through thing. Like, that wasn't an option at that point. So definitely did have the nursing difficulties with them, but not as bad as the fourth, which I'm glad for, because then we discovered what was going on. So.
compared to your sixth mm-hmm. baby that was revised real early. What was the difference between that?
Also, which his was pretty anterior as well as a really thick posterior. I had him revised twice, once at like 10 days old and then again at like 4 months because it just felt like it wasn't quite. And maybe all of my babies need something more like that because my fourth child that I had her done at like 10 days-ish, 2 weeks old. But it just almost felt like it wasn't quite enough. Mm. So this baby, I like knew enough that I'm like, it's not enough. It's almost like they almost have to be a little bit bigger too for their, even to really get in there. They're so tiny when they're newborns, but they obviously need it right away. But then it's almost like there is deeper work that's needed to really get the full release. That I actually had him done twice, which it was not pleasant. It's not, I bet I probably wouldn't even want to do this if I didn't already have the older children to say it is far worse. Mm-hmm. You know, if you don't have that in your, like right in front of you, it would be very easy to be like, it's probably be okay. You know, we'll just skip it. Well, it'll work out. There's plenty of people that would say, oh yeah, you know, and medical people, dental people would say, yeah, it's not that big of a deal. And even like, I'm more in birth world. So like even midwives, doulas, lactation consultants, like not a lot of, I mean, it's getting a little bit better, but not a lot of very good all around knowledge on it. A lot of just bluffing it off. Like it's not really a thing. So, or that they do know about mm-hmm. it. It's like a clip, you know, clipping something or mm-hmm. is it really a full release or, right. And then all the body work or whatever that's needed. It's very seldom just like a snippet and then you're like golden.
Yeah.
Like a lot of other things going on that I'm still discovering now, even with my children that were revised, the methods or things that I should have been putting more in place mm-hmm. then and as they got bigger that I'm just learning now with more of this myofunctional therapy stuff. So I'm like, ah, daggone it.
I know. Well, we know now. Hindsight's always 2020.
Yeah, always, always, always. So yeah, I got all my little people on munchies right now. So at least I'm trying to keep
going. And they're all in therapy and you know, it's amazing. So I have three sisters. And we are all some sort of tongue tied and, you know, obviously now, my mom knows more about it and it's just, it's amazing. It's like, you just don't know what you don't know. Right. Like, you know, I'm lucky because I'm 36 weeks pregnant. So I'm super pregnant. My baby actually currently has like hiccups in my tummy right now.
Baby's going to come out so tongue-tied.
So, yeah, she's going to be a little tongue-tied baby. I've already, like, she hasn't even been born, and I'm already like, okay, this is, like, I'm going to go see this doctor. I'm going to do this. We're going to do some cranial sacral therapy. Nice. But I would never know that if this wasn't, like, my world, right? And, you know, you can kind of, like, you definitely can, like, laugh about, like, the fact that I've already called the doctor and they're like, yeah, your baby's not born yet. You need to wait. And I'm like, I know, but like, what's the protocol here? Because like, I know. And like, I've seen my friend's babies go through the acid reflux. I've had a nephew go through the acid reflux and it's just like, oh, let's just give the baby Prilosec. And it's like, there's just so much more to it. And you know, it's so great when you can really rely on kind of your mom gut, you know, which I'm hoping to develop here in the next few weeks, but, and just really advocate for your kids because like, not only like you have to advocate for yourself, but like, if you can't advocate for yourself or advocate for your kids, like who's going to do that for you? I can't tell you how many times we've heard of patients who are like, why didn't anybody tell me this? Or like, why don't certain like specialists know about this? And, you know, it's, you have to go to the mat for yourself and for your kids. So I think that's amazing that you kind of found that fight back. And then now you've really seen the difference of, you know, like what that means for your kiddos.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm so grateful to have found Kimmy and just having, again, like finding these key people. Again, there's a lot of there's a lot of things and resources and people out there, but I'm just such a skeptic.
I know.
When I come, you know, I want the right one, mm-hmm. like the real one.
Oh, yeah.
That's the one that I want. Like, I don't want to just do something and then realize 5 years down the road, I totally did not do it thoroughly or enough mm-hmm. or, you know, I half did it. So I'm like, I really want somebody that's going to really know. So I was so thankful to find Kimmy yeah. and be like, oh, I can like breathe. Be like, all right, this person knows their stuff.
She knows what we're talking about.
Oh, thank you. It's been yeah. a joy working with you. And I just love your kids. They're so smart. I'm like, what percentage of the day is your tongue up in the roof of your mouth? Well, I would say I think about it like sometimes. So I would say 57%. I love when kids
are so specific with their percentages. It like it's like everything. Yeah, it's so funny. But yeah, you know, it's honestly, Heather, it's been so great to have you because all the time we are, you know, asked by patients to like, hey, well, can you tell me people who've like gone through this? And you're like, yeah, but I can't because of HIPAA, but like, yes, you know? So having just patients and people and just people willing to share their stories is so, so, so important. So other people know that they're not alone. You know, even like a little bit off topic, I have like 5 or 6 patients right now who are all kind of in the like first and second grade age group. And they're going nuts. They're going so crazy having to be online school, not being able to be with their friends. And I know a lot of kids are. Like, I know it's not just this specific age group, but this is just kind of in particular. And I can't tell you, each parent has said at some point, like, man, we're really struggling with behavioral, or we're really struggling with this, or we're really like, and we just kind of feel like an island. And I'm like, I promise you, I just had this conversation with my patient before you, who's the exact same age. Like, we're all going, like, everybody's going through it right now. And I think sometimes we kind of forget that we're not always so alone,
mm-hmm.
you know? And so it's so important to find those people you can connect with and find those people to be like, hey, me too. Like, we're in this together.
Yeah. Yeah. And I feel like it is, it's kind of pushing through, like not being satisfied until you find the person that gets you, like mm-hmm. an encouragement. Like it is, there is somebody out there.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's somebody that's working and as frustrated as you are about this thing or whatever it is. And I feel like I had to push past so many of my, even when you're like, let's say you push through something, but you still get the same person that tells you the same thing. Mm-hmm. And like, even if that happens 8 times, 10 times, like to be able to push through those things, like that person's there, the stuff that, you know, if your mom gut, you know, which you're totally developing your mom gut, carrying your baby for sure. You know, like there is so much that you will instinctually, you know something's not right. And I think as we really just get more grounded as mothers and not, I mean, I'm a big proponent for, really like I'm the center of that world. I'm not outsourcing my children's upbringing, their wellness, their, you know, I'm not outsourcing that to anybody. Like that's my deal.
Mm-hmm.
Like yes, I'm going to bring in all kinds of people, but that's my deal. Mm-hmm. Like this is my responsibility. So I think when we really stand at the center of that, like we're at the center of our children's lives and that kind of thing versus like, oh, that's that, you know, doctor's issue. Like that's what they do. They'll take care of my children in this way or that dentist, or I thoroughly love and rely on so many different professionals I've accessed in my life. But for moms to know, like you, I'm for parents to know, like you are the center of that thing.
Mm-hmm.
You will have access to what you need and what you need to pursue. And, you know, rather than assuming it's going to come through somebody else, like go for it yourself. It's there.
Mm-hmm. I love it.
I agree. And mm-hmm. Heather, like that was a beautiful ending because you are so good at, you know, taking responsibility for mm-hmm. your kids and their health. Like, yeah. you know, I just love that about you. You're definitely a mama bear. And yeah. I think this will be like really inspiring for people. So thanks so much for telling your story and you know, we'll have to check in with you in the future, you know, as the kids go through expansion and everything. Yeah, I'm curious to hear how that goes. So,
yes, thank you, Heather, everybody. So thank much. Heather for this joining awesome. Us
today. Yeah, and thank you so much for the opportunity. Definitely a new thing for me, but I'm hopefully I didn't botch it too bad and it'll be all good.
Yeah.
You did great. You can find Megan and I on Instagram. Megan is. You can find Kimmy on Instagram, Mouth Muscle Memory. You can find Megan on Instagram, NWMFT, which stands for Northwest Myofunctional Therapy. You can also find us with the Munch Bunch podcast on Instagram.
Please post any questions that you have. We always are trying to connect people with great resources. You know, Kimmy and I both work all over the U.S. and the world, and so we've been building teams. So don't be shy to reach out.